I'm the one that gets to stand up here a little longer today and talk to you about a few things.
Okay, I have all my stuff up here.
Yeah, it's up here. You know, they've said the word father came between two words in the dictionary.
Came between the words.
Fatigued and fathead. So here's to all you fathers. Fatigued, fathead fathers. Let's have a good Father's Day, huh? Let's do this. All right, then. Dads are just like moms, only just a little bit hairier. A little bit bigger. Right? That's what one kid thought. That's why it's not that big a difference between Father's Day and Mother's Day. Another difference would be that Father's Day only means you just don't have to spend as much on the present for the dad as you do for the mom. Spoiled rotten. Spoiled rotten moms, I'm telling you. That's the way it goes. So let's talk about dads a little bit today. I hope you're ready for that. Since that's what the day is and all. So let's just talk about dad. So if a man says it would take too long to explain, guys, ladies and other people, there's things we still need to know about us. When a guy says it would take too long to explain, he means, I have no idea how it works. That's really what he means. When the man says, take a break, honey, please take a break. You're working too hard. All it really means is, please turn the vacuum off. I can't hear the game. That's what we mean. When a man says, oh, that's interesting, dear, he means, are you still talking? Not me, of course, that's you all. When a man says, it's a guy thing, it means there's really no rational thought pattern connected with it, and you have no chance of making it logical at all. When a man says, can I help with dinner? It means, why isn't it ready yet? When a man says, uh-huh, sure, honey, or yes, dear, it means absolutely nothing. It's a conditioned response. We just say, this is what we do. When a man says, you know how bad my memory is, what he really means is, I can remember the theme songs to Hogan Heroes. I can remember the phone numbers to the first girl I ever kissed. And the vehicle identification numbers of every car I've owned, but somehow I still forgot your birthday. When a man says, oh, don't fuss, I just cut myself, it's no big deal. It means I've probably severed a limb and will bleed to death before I admit I'm hurt, so get over here and help me. That's the truth there. When a man says, I can't find it, this is very true for me, it's ridiculously true for me. I can't find it. It didn't fall into my outstretched hand, so I'm completely clueless. I don't know where it is. Seriously, it could be staring me in the face and I still can't find it. When a man says, I heard you, he means, I haven't had the foggiest clue what you just said, and I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it well enough so that you will not spend the next 3 days yelling at me. I heard you. When a man says, you know, I can never love anyone else, he really means, I'm used to the way that you yell at me and realize that it could be worse. Yeah? No? When a man says, oh, you look terrific, what he really means is, please don't try on one more outfit. We're late for dinner and I'm starving. We all know that one. When a man says, I'm lost, or I'm not lost, I know exactly where I am, he means, I don't think anyone will ever see us alive again. When a man says, I don't remember anything, he says, I don't remember saying that. Here's what he means. Anything that I have said in the past 6 months ago is inadmissible in argument. In fact, all past comments become null and void after 7 days. So don't even try bringing it up. When a man says, that's not what I meant, he means, if something I said can be interpreted in two ways, and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, I meant the other one. Guys, we are very good communicators. We know how to do it well. I'm telling you. God invented us first for a reason. Thanks, God. All right, then. So, when we talk about fathers and how we are a little different from mothers and what all that means, let's take a look at ourselves a little bit. Is that okay, guys? Can we do that? And then we have some candy for you at the end. So get to the end, right? That's what I'm saying. All I heard was candy. When you're driving somebody else's car, guys, have you ever had to do that? Or ladies, I guess, for that matter. I don't know if you do this. But as a guy, I know when I'm driving somebody else's car, I'm worried. I'm worried about every little thing that happens. I'm worried about, well, what was that tick? Oh, what was that noise? Did that clunk happen before? Is that supposed to happen? Is that supposed to do that? Because we worry. It's like, man, life, is this car going to fall apart on me? Or did I do something bad to hurt this car? When I think about driving somebody else's car, I understand that I can see a lot of things that I think could be fixed about that car, or a lot of things that I think that need to be changed on that car to make it better. When we're driving our own car, every click, bump, thump, bang, pop, who cares? It's been there, it's been doing that for a month. Who cares? It eats oil, who cares? It's all good. I went to Jiffy Lube the other day with my Geo. I don't do it very often because I had to get the oil filter changed. I don't need to change the oil because it burns through it so fast, I just keep pouring it in. So I just need to get the filter changed, basically. And he gave me a whole list of things that I needed to change in this thing. And I looked at him and smiled, and he looked back at me and smiled. He knew I wasn't going to do a lick of them. Dude, the thing's like 15 years old. It's got 248,000 miles on it. It shouldn't be alive anyways. I'm not fixing nothing on this sucker. You fix one thing and it's going to break. This thing's going good. I want us to think of our lives that way. It's easy to see so many things in other men's lives. If you're walking in their shoes, oh, yeah, that's wrong. Oh, he didn't do that. Oh, that dad's bad. Oh, that dad's wrong. But then you look at yourself and you know those things that are wrong. You have a whole list of things that are wrong in your own life. You know what they are. But there's times we just don't deal with it. Oh, that's okay. I've been living like that for a while. It's all good. It's not broken. Don't fix it. Are we like that, guys? I think we are. I know I am. I can definitely see wrongs in everybody else, and then I take a look at myself and no, it's okay. I justify whatever it is. So what I want to ask us to do is to start to think about some of the things that we might be able to encourage ourselves to do to change in our own way for ourselves. I picked up from the internet some things that bad dads have. That's what I just typed in. What are bad dads? It said they always abandon projects. They're too materialistic. This was a funny one. It said all of their plants are dead. I'm not sure if that means they're bad gardeners or we don't care. I don't know. You're a neat freak. I don't have to worry about that one. You need to be the center of attention. These are all definitions of bad dads. That's what I got. No patience. That's a duh one. I don't know. Let's pick on ourselves today, guys. What do you see in yourself? I know there's a lot of songs and things out there that depict bad dads or dads that have done things that probably shouldn't have been done, and you've seen it many times, but what are some of the attributes of, if I was to ask you to start naming attributes of bad dads, what would some of those things be? I'm sure you're thinking already. Thinking of names. No, I'm just kidding. Attributes, name qualities of bad dads. You might be thinking, not responsible. Not responsible for what? Well, a lot of things. They're never wrong. Bad dads, never wrong. And because they're never wrong, they never say sorry. Bad dads never say sorry. They expect perfection yet overlook their own problems. They don't own up to their own failures. They're not responsible for their own actions. They blame everything else but themselves. Another attribute would be that they're neglectful or selfish. Really, it's kind of the same deal. They're neglectful of their family. They seek to glorify themselves. They're neglectful of chores. And sometimes I think I need a list, like my kids have. Greg, you need to do this and this and this. Okay. If you don't check them off, you don't get dinner. Okay. I mean, seriously, that's how dumb I am sometimes. I get so stuck on myself. And of course, they neglect in their family and in their own life to glorify God. Those are the negative things. I don't like thinking about all the negative things, but we know we have them. We have to identify those things in order to be able to make ourselves become a little bit better. Obviously, we do. But it's always funner to look at the good things. Let's do that today as well. So if I was to say, wow, that's a great dad. That's a great dad. What kind of dad would that be? The opposite of what the bad ones are, right? You say sorry, because we oftentimes need to be. Especially when you're talking to your wife. I'm sorry. Just sorry. You own up to your actions. You give of yourself. You know how to love. You can love softly with hugs, kisses. You can love firmly through tough love. You can love through letting them learn their own lessons in their children. I guess that's what a father is, right? We become a father when we are having a kid or whatever. That's what father means. So in that light, definitely that fits. Letting children learn their own lessons. It's hard to watch, hard to do, but you need to. That's what a good father does. And they back up their wife. They don't turn the tables on their wife. Have you ever had your kid come to you and say, well, dad said it's okay. Well, or mom said it's okay. Well, don't tell her, but it's you could do it. As long as I can have some. That's how it works. Manipulators. Dads, we don't need to be that. All right, then. A great dad means, obviously, you will have some element of God in your life. So, the main idea today is that we're going to be looking at, aside from the attributes of bad dads and good dads, how to be that. So we're going to start with the phrase, I will. I will be a godly father. This is the second part already, and we're moving right through. Lloyd is right a while back. He said, if it was Greg up here, we're going to be done in 10 minutes. All right. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. So that's way in the Old Testament. And I hope you guys know where that is. If you don't, that's okay. Ask your kid that's in one of the Sunday school classes. They know where they are. Yeah, that'll work. Deuteronomy chapter 6. What I'm going to ask you to do is take a look at some of the things that it's asking, what God is talking to as a father to do. And you may have highlighted some of these things from the past, because I think we've talked about these scriptures before, but highlight in your Bible if you have it. And if you don't want to highlight in your own, just grab your neighbor's and highlight in theirs. It works. That way you won't forget it, they won't forget it, and you'll make a new friend. So, chapter 6, verse 1. Let's take a look right here. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. Does it sound like your father talking to a father? That's what I took this as. It sounds like, God, you're talking to me. You must obey them in the land that you are about to enter and occupy. You and your children, see what I mean? They're talking to me. Me and my children. Okay, I got kids. I guess it's talking to me. You and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all these decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. What do we just hear out of that wonderful little part there that could help us become a good father? Number one says, show fear of the Lord. You guys catch that? Verse 2, it says, you and your children and your grandchildren must fear the Lord your God. Number one thing. How to be I will be a godly father by what? Fearing the Lord. How do we show fear? Well, that's an easy thing. You make a lot of noise and run away. That's what you're supposed to do if you see a bear. You look big, make noise, back up. Wah! Move away, bear. No, I always say just be faster than the guy next to you. That way he doesn't eat you. Look big, make noise, slowly back up. That's how we scare off a bear. How many of you ever have had experiences with your family where you were actually kind of scared? But I'm the man. And I can't show my scaredism at this minute. And I'm going to, fake it. Yeah, that's happened to me. One time we were camping before, it was BC, before camper. And I was in a tent. I think you may have heard the story before, but there's a few new ones so the rest of you can sleep. And I was half asleep. My wife was definitely asleep. And it's dark out, the fire went out, it's getting cold already, you know how it goes. You try to stay up as late as possible, so you don't have to worry about not sleeping very good. Well, my wife doesn't worry about that, she sleeps real good no matter what, so she was already asleep. Not fair, I'm mad. And we're kind of back off the main road a ways, and I look down out of my tent, of course, all the blinds and stuff are pulled, in those fancy tents now. And I look up and I see flashlights coming up the road. I'm like, oh, crud, what is that? And they weren't saying anything. The flashlights weren't talking at all. The men holding the flashlights, or whoever it was, wasn't talking at all. They came walking up the road right into my camp. I'm like, what on earth is going on? And I'm half asleep. You know how you are when you're half asleep? You're half asleep. You don't really know what's going on, but you kind of do. Yeah? Some of us or like that in life, right? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, someone's sitting right here, half asleep. I know what you mean. What am I doing? What are we doing? So anyways, they get closer and closer, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, what? Are these guys coming to rob me? What's going on? And I'm reaching for, you know, anything. Angela's arm to hit him with, you know, anything I can grab. And I reached over and said, Angela, look outside. What's... She wakes up, sort of, and she says, hi. Hi. Not the response I wanted. This is not okay. We are about ready to meet our death. And you just said hi to me. Thanks. I love you too. I don't even know what they were doing. They were probably looking to see if there was another spot or something. They turned around and went away. But my goodness, I was freaked out for me and, you know, my family and whatever. We were trapped in this paper-thin tent. Could have never escaped. All that good stuff. Our doors opened one night in our apartment when we first got married. And I was sleeping away. This time, it was kind of different. She wasn't. No, she was too. All of a sudden, we heard this big... Somebody yelled, hey! And it was in our house. In our apartment. And I was like, You know, I just got to thinking, am I just dreaming this? Did you hear that too? And Angela heard it. She's like, yeah, did you hear that? I'm like, yeah, I heard that. And I'm shaking already. She's on the door side of the bed, so I'm like, go get him. I'd have to get clear off over here and walk all the way around. You got a direct shot. Well, I didn't even say that, really. I was freaked out. I'm like, pulled the covers up a little bit. I'm like, that was in our house. Well, I didn't know we had... Somehow the door wasn't shut tight or something. But Angela gets up and just walks right out in the living room. Walks right out there. Goes right out. I'm like, that's supposed to be me. That's what I'm supposed to do. Get him to air. Evidently, the guy had walked on. He wasn't in our house. He was just standing at the door and yelled something. But I'm you know, how you are when you're half asleep again. Fear. It's something that we're supposed to have for our God. Fear happens automatically in life. How do we show fear for our Christ, for Lord? Let's take a look at that. It's easy to show fear of other things. How do we show fear of our Lord? Let's keep reading. All right, let's keep reading. We've read verses 1 and 2 there. All right, the first thing we could read right after it says about fearing the Lord there after the verse 2. This starts in verse 2. You and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. First thing right there it says, we have to do to fear the Lord, probably would be to... What? I think it's pretty simple. Agreed? It says it right there. Keeping all his decrees and commands. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it says, right? Yeah, definitely. Keeping all his decrees and commands. Let's keep reading. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Does that sound like a way to fear the Lord? Is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, it doesn't say mind in this one, but heart, soul, and strength. I'd agree. I think that's one too. And then the third one is down, go down to verse 9 that I pulled out. There's other ones in there. It says, write them. Them would be the commandments. It says to write them in verse 9 on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And then it says, talk about them all the time. So in order to fear the Lord from here, it looks like we need to obey or keep his decrees and commands. Love with our heart, soul, and strength, and talk about them all the time. Does that sound okay? Is that pretty simple? We just pulled out the main ideas. Good job. We are well on our way to getting to sixth grade. All right. Let's talk about keeping his laws and decrees. What does this mean? How many of us choose to obey only the laws we like or think are legit? Now, I understand. There are some laws that I don't like either, that I don't want to obey. I don't like it. I mean, seriously, you see a a no swimming sign, and there's a quarter at the bottom of the fountain in the mall. That's a stupid rule. I gotta get the quarter. Actually, I get my kid to get it. No, if there's a no swimming sign and there's somebody drowning, oh, can't swim. Doesn't say swim. I'm gonna let the guy die. Obviously, there are some things that you could do to make, you know, rules not be so followed. They're sort of subjective. It's 11 p.m., all the sidewalks are rolled up, and you're sitting at a stoplight. No cars, no nothing. Run it. It's a law. You have to stay there till it turns green. Oh, man. You know what I mean? There's those stupid laws, right? That, you know, there's the letter of the law, then the spirit of the law. I understood why it says to stop when it's a red light, but when nobody's around, forget it. It's when I get pulled over. I know that. Keeping all his decrees and commands. I mean, there are some legit reasons why you can disobey the laws. Your wife is ready to have a baby, you're speeding to the hospital, that's fun. McDonald's stops serving breakfast at 10:30 and it's 10:25, you know, it's okay. When you think of it that way, though, oftentimes we correlate that with our spiritual life. We think sometimes that God's laws are subjective to me. They only matter when they matter. And when they don't, they don't. Yet, they don't change. They're not subjective. I like to look at this, the passage we talked about last week in 2 Peter that Lloyd brought out. 2 Peter 1, I didn't have this in my notes, sorry. 2 Peter 1, where it talks about if you want to be, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9, it says, let me just read the good part of it. It says, with these qualities active, and I'm talking about those qualities in a second, growing in your lives, it says, and I'm reading in the Message version, this version's great. It says, with these qualities, of course, they are, all right, let me just read them to you. Good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, generous love, all those good things. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, now I'm talking about guys here, how to fear the Lord. No grass will grow under your feet. What does that mean? It means you're not standing anywhere long enough to see something just like grow. You're moving. You're doing something. And then it says, no day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, and this is the catcher here, without the fear of the Lord is what I kind of related it to, you can't see what's right before you. Oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. I don't want that. I don't want to be somebody who can't see what's right before me, because I can't hold on to the laws and decrees and follow them like God asked me to. If I'm disobeying, I'm not being what this is exactly saying, all these qualities, I'm not going to be able to see what's right or wrong in front of me. That scares me. I want to be able to see what's right and wrong. How do I do that? As men, as fathers, we follow the decrees and laws that our Lord set up for us. Next part there said, love with all your heart, soul, and strength. How do we do that? Well, I know I'm really good at giving my best and my all when it's something I love to do. You guys agree? You put a deer up on a hill and say it's up there and give me a gun, I'll go get it. You say I need to go run this certain distance, I could do it. Who wants to run 8.2 miles with 1,900 feet elevation gain? This guy. Stupid. I know. I did it. It was fun. It was rewarding. Whatever, choose to do it again, I don't know. But we do things that we enjoy doing, even if it costs us a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of whatever, because we like it. Because it's meaningful to us. Because it gives us some sort of satisfaction. Yikes. Satisfaction. Satisfaction. And this is what we're talking about with men and fathers. Talking about loving our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength means that I have to do things that sometimes don't feel good, that don't feel right, that I might not always want to, for the sake of my family, for the sake of my own salvation. It's not about a convenient relationship with God at the moment that causes us to want and to have to follow His laws and decrees and to love with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not about the convenience. It's about the promise we make to Him. It's about what He said. The last one there, the number three one we had pulled out of the Deuteronomy chapter 6 there, it says communicate. Talk about it all the time. We talked about how we're such good communicators earlier. Communicate with your wife and kids. Guys, as fathers, we need to learn to be transparent. We can't hide our feelings from our families. Do you know what that relates to? If you're hiding things from your family that you can't share with them, it's exactly what you're doing with God. It's exactly what you do with God. There is no difference. Our relationship here is very directly correlated with our relationship here, especially when it comes to the people who we're closest to. We might treat a stranger kind of weird because we don't know them yet. But my wife and my kids, I know them. If I'm holding back some of my feelings, my hurts, because I'm too big of a man to share those, or I'm too whatever because I'm a big bad dad, I don't know if that's correct. I don't think so. It says to communicate, talk all the time. You can't hide from your family. Guys, it's very good to show weakness. Oh, but big girls don't cry. How are your wife and kids going to know how to handle hard times if you can't let them know how you're truly feeling? It's okay to cry. And as a father, this is one of the things that I want more for my kids than anything. Recognizing that bad things happen and how to deal with bad things. We were up pheasant hunting and my dog got ran over by a car. I'm not just making this up. This happened. I was devastated because it was my wife's dog. I just took it hunting. It was a good hunting dog. We had 6.5 hours, 7 hours of trip on the way home. Have to worry about how to tell my wife. I mean, I called her and what all, but came in the house. I was sobbing, man. That hurt. Oh, but I'm too big of a man to show that kind of emotion. It's okay. Maybe I'm a baby. Maybe that's what you're thinking. Guys, I want my kids to know that when something hurts, it can hurt me too. Think about our relationship with our God Father. When you have sin in your life, and you go to Him in prayer, and you are hurt because of what you chose to do, do you think our God the Father is looking down at you saying, whatever, you're a wimp, you're a baby, get up? I totally and completely disagree with that. Our God's up there weeping with you. He hurts more than you hurt. That's what a dad is to me. That's what we need to be as a dad. Be super happy when it's good. Be ecstatic. But when it's sad, show it. All right, so on the count of three, guys, let's try crying. Ready? Put the end of the chair on your foot or something, you know, and step down on it. Get your toe hurt. I tell you what, I know my wife and kids are good at crying. I want me to be. I want guys to be. Let's continue reading. Verses 20 to 25 in Deuteronomy chapter 6 there. A couple more things we'll done. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations and decrees and the laws of the Lord our God has commanded you? Here's what you tell him. You tell him, we were slaves in the Pharaoh of Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with the mighty hand. We're in verse 22. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us up from there to bring us in and give us a land he promised, an oath to our ancestors. Verse 24 says, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and to be kept alive. as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. A son asked his father, "What is the meaning of the stipulations and the decrees and the laws the Lord our God has commanded you?" Here's what you tell him. What does this help me to recognize as a father? I need to encourage my kids to ask questions. I want them to ask me questions. Don't tell them all the answers all the time. Don't tell them what they're supposed to think. Make them ask questions. And I'm talking spiritual questions. You're not going to cram down their throat every single thing that they have to do for God. They need to figure that out. They need to ask questions about it. Fathers, we need to allow them to ask questions. Yes, of course, we need to direct. We need to guide. But please, let them ask questions. At the end of every teaching lesson I give, at the end of every single one, I will always ask this question. What questions do you have for me? I don't ask, do you have any questions? Because I know they do. I said, what questions do you have for me? And pretty soon somebody else took their hand up. And I'll say, thank you for asking the question. And I'll clear up a lot of things. I want that for my kids. Ask me questions. I want them to ask questions about spiritual things. Encourage them to ask questions. Leave things purposefully unanswered so they can ask. That's what good dads do. They allow their kids to become thinkers, especially in the spiritual way of things. You might get some questions like, why do we go to church? Why did Jesus come? Why don't you use bad language, Dad? Here's how you need to answer. You answer with truth, of course, but with feelings. Great example here. Dad, why do you like the Huskers? All right, kid. Sit back and relax and enjoy this. It's about time you asked me this question. It's just because all the other teams are about as dumb as a 10-pound bag of stupid. That's why. God was born in Nebraska. That's why. Haven't you ever been through Bethlehem, Nebraska? Come on, there's cows and horses and pigs everywhere. There's no vacancy signs in all the hotels because so many people go there. And there's stables everywhere. All right, then. Good stuff. Oh, I think I had said before, I said with truth and feeling. That was just with the feeling part, not the truth part. If you're always given, though, the Jesus answer, they'll see right through you. Why can't we sleep in on Sundays like the other kids? Because Jesus wants us in church. I'd prefer to sleep in, Dad. That's what your kid's thinking. Here's what you should say. I know there are Sundays that I wouldn't mind sleeping in for sure. But I want to always make sure of one thing, that I'm always trying to please God to the best of my ability. And I think that by being at church on Sundays, this shows him that I honor him. What do you think? Pin it back on your kid. As a father, let them think. Why do we do things? Dad, why do we have devotions? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to be good at school? Why can't I do this? Why can't? Put it back on them. Here's how I feel. What do you think? We as fathers have a mind that we need to make up. We need to learn to make the statement, I will be a godly father. I now believe that God desires for every father to take a courageous step. A courageous step up to do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of his children and his wife. But more than that, more than just being there or providing for them, he's to walk with them through their lives and to be a visual representation of the character of God, their Father, who's in heaven. A father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect, and should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters, eternity. Some men will hear this, and they will mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence that he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes that we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did or did not do for us, will give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are and to teach our children how to do the same. And whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no fathers in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. I'm inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join in this resolution. Fathers, I want to ask you, and future fathers, if you think you're going to become a future father, I want you to stand and recite this with me. Hopefully it's up there. Did you guys get that? I had it. All right, I'll say it. And it's in the bulletin. Oh, it's in the bulletin. Very good. Yeah, you guys can read that. If you can't read the screen, that's okay, Justin. Sorry, man. I should have told you. It's in the back of the bulletin. Let's go with this. Read it aloud with me as I read it. Here we go. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my children to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive patterns in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and His blessing on my home. Stay standing, please, men. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you? I want you to rise up. Fathers who fear the Lord, it's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given us as men to say, I will. I will become and be a godly father. Guys, let's sing this song. I look around, I see my wonderful life, almost perfect from the outside. In picture frames, I see my beautiful wife, she's always smiling, but on the inside, I can hear her saying, lead me with strong hands and stand up when I can't. Don't leave me hungry for love, chasing dreams. But what about us? Show me you're willing to fight, that I am still the love of your life. I know we call this our home, but I still feel alone. I see their faces. I see their faces. Look in their innocent eyes. They're just children from the outside. I'm working hard. I tell myself they'll be fine. They're independent, but on the inside, I can hear them saying, lead me with strong hands and stand up when I can't. Don't leave me hungry for love, chasing dreams. But what about us? Show me you're willing to fight, that I'm still the love of your life. I know we call this our home, but I still feel alone. So Father, give me the strength to be everything strong hands to stand up when they can't only leave them. Hungry for love, chasing things that I could give up. I'll show them I'm willing to fight and give them the best of my life, so we can call this our home. Lead me, 'cause I can't do this alone. Father, lead me, 'cause I can't do this alone. Thank you guys for standing with me, making that pledge a little bit, and I hope that what has been said can be used by you and understood that it's important to be a godly father and that I will choose to do just that. Guys, don't sit down yet because we got candy. We don't know who you are if you're not a dad standing up. Wow, we almost missed the best part of the whole day. So at this point, we have some candy that's going to be passed out. Where are those? Ah. Oh, there we go. So a couple, Amber, you want to help get somebody to help you pass them all out? You are going to be awarded with a piece of candy, and they need to put it around your neck. Oh, put it around their neck, Amberlynn. There you go. Yes, indeed. Good looking stuff. This is exactly what you came to church for today. These should be just for the fathers. Unless you're a candy thief, then just grab one and eat it. It's all good. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I guess I am one too, huh? Remember, Dad, get one. Hopefully. Didn't miss too many of you. Nice. All right, kids, go give your dad a hug. And then we'll move on. I think that went pretty well. I don't know. All right then. We're going to move on to our regular scheduled programming at this moment. So kids, you're going to be going to class here in a little bit. And you guys hopefully know where you're going already. If not, it's fun to be lost for a while. All right. It's good stuff. So that'll happen. And then the questions and stuff that we have are up here. They apply to dads and also for how to support dads, so they'll apply to everybody. You're not just picking on your dad today. So that's a good thing. And dad, don't let your kids grab your candy. It's for you. Don't be nice right now. It's okay to eat it. So with that said, we're going to kind of get in groups of fours or fives as usual. Wherever you want to go is great. And have at it. Come grab some of these sheets and have some good times with it. And then tonight, we don't have our regularly scheduled program for church because we're supposed to spend time with your dads. So how's that sound, everybody? Sound like you've heard it before? It's good because you have. That's what you're supposed to remember, right? So have a good time doing that, and we'll see you back here on Wednesday night. Regularly scheduled program on Wednesday. So keep that in mind. A lot of good things happened this week, right? I mean, Adam and Sarah had their kid, and it's all good. Glorious and whatnot. Yeah. Adam's probably eating Reese's right now. Like, yeah, buddy, it's good stuff. And other good stuff I'm sure happened. And that's good. So let's remember to glorify our godly Father for giving us a good dad. For those of you who have a good dad and those of you who don't, well, straighten him out a little bit. Let's get him going in the right path. Let's do it. All right? I'll pray and then we could be dispersed to our areas and move on with our questions here. Anything else before I be quiet? All right. God, thank you for the day that you've given, that again we all allow ourselves to think of you as our Father and reflect on how it is that you deal with us so neat and how, I don't know, you just forgive us and love us no matter what. Help us to be a dad like that. You expect so much of us, yet accept us at our worst. Help us to be a dad like that. And help us, though, to stand up to ourselves and stand up to things we know we need to fix and to become a father that will be following you. Be with the rest of our day and with the questions even and our Sunday school classes and whatever that happens else. So please guide us in that. And please guide the rest of our day. Jesus, my prayer. Amen.